title of today's message, this is what the Lord showed me last night. It's a love story. Love story. I want to read this verse from 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in Him. Now, first of all, do you know how much God loves you? Well, maybe we need to get a head start on that. God is love. And all who live in God. I love this translation. And God live in them. God is love. God's the originator of love. He invented it. He invented the concept. It wasn't on some Hollywood set that the concept of love came forth, or some tawdry, steamy love novel that the concept came forth. God created it. Love comes from God because at the very essence, God is love. It is part of His character. It's who He is. God is love. And when God does anything, you can be assured that God leads with His character, and that means He leads with His love. Now think about all the things that God is doing in your life. Now some of them, granted, we don't receive as love, but in the long run, it is an expression of God's love. Sometimes His love comes in the form of protection, doesn't it? You know, when I was disciplined for running out in front of traffic as a little kid, that was my parents showing me a great gift of love in my life. Now, many of us have a different definition of love, don't we? Here are a few. For many people in our society, love's a bargaining chip. Something that you can give or take away. Right? None of you have ever used love like that, have you? Perish the thought. For some, our definition of love is it's a tool of intimidation. About that. There are times when love is just simply lust or sexual gratification, as our definition of it, they think. And then there are other times it's just a means of manipulation. Now, how could such a pure concept like love, think about it, God is love, get so screwed up? Think of how many times you heard this past week something was done in the name of love. Was it God's love that was done in the name of? Or some screwy other definition of love. Now, I want you to hang in here with me today, because one of the reasons why I just feel in my heart that God brought us to this is I believe He wanted us to begin this first Sunday baptized in His love. Now, seated here today, we have all sorts of people. We have some folks here today that are hurting very badly. We have some here today that the holidays were not a joyful time. They were reminders of past hurts. And in some ways, and even digging it deeper. There's some of us that were ready to just get through this time. We have some of us that are so frightened by what 2009 brings, portends, that there's not too many waking hours that we're not thinking about. Thinking about whether or not we're going to have a job, what's going to happen in our business, what's going to happen in our country with all the economic unrest. What's going to happen in the world? I hadn't read the news this morning. Are the Israeli tanks rolling into Gaza? Okay. That shouldn't make anybody feel good. Now, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but that shouldn't make anybody feel good that kind of unrest is going on right there. Because, well, let me tell you, whatever happens up right there, it's going to happen worldwide. Just get a grip on it. That's how it is. Now, love story. Here's some facts about the love of God. I'm going to read some scriptures to you. Some of these we have up here. God's love includes everybody. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not be lost, but have eternal life. Those of you that have been around church most of your life, you've heard this verse. God loved, and you fill in your name, Dusty. So much that he gave his unique one and only Son, Jesus, that Dusty may not perish, but that Dusty may live with him forever. There is no one, not one single person on the planet who is not loved by God. And yet, if we really got honest this morning, I'd suspect that there'd be some of us here today, if we're really honest, we might say, you know, I don't believe that applies to me. I don't think God really loves me. And here's how the reasoning will go. Because if God really did love me, then these other things that have happened to me in my life wouldn't have happened. Is that true? Of course not. We're battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're in a war zone on this earth. God's love cuts through all of that. You know, some of you think that you can do enough bad things that'll send you out from under the love of God. But I want you to know there's not a person that has ever lived on the planet who's been able to do that. Because God is love and he's God. And wherever he is, there is his love. And his love covers all. He loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he loves everybody. And sometimes we think, well, God's the love of the world. Yeah, great that he loves the world. No, God loves everybody, you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He has chosen to love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Whatever you do, you can't make him love you anymore, and you can't make him love you any less. Just try. And some of us have tried. In the past, we've done things that said, I've done so many wrong things, I'm just going to do some more wrong things, and then God will just cut me off, and I'll have an excuse to live the life away from him that the devil's putting in front of me. I want you to know God ain't going to give you that excuse. Because wherever you go, His love is following. You can't go to a place in the world that His love will not follow. Because He follows you there. And when He's there, His love is there. Think of the best human being you can think of right now, face to planet. Who is that? God loves that person. Now think of the worst human being you can think of. I mean, think of the person that right now most of the world probably thinks they need to be at the end of a rope or in the gas chamber or whatever. Or the other end of a rifle. God loves that person. This is a difficult concept to understand because we live so much in this world that we put ourselves away from the love of God. Let's break through that today. God's love includes everybody, and that's you. Second, God's love never stops. This verse from Jeremiah 31. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I've loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. Who is it? Bible teacher on the radio. She says this every time. Ah. Elizabeth Elliott, thank you. Elliott, or who'd you say, Val? Elizabeth, I think it is Elizabeth Elliott. She goes through that, and he said, with an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. What's going on over there? Tell me later. Yes, it is. Let's say, there you go. Stand up. There you go. Dog said, everybody stand up. Come on. Saw some of you drifting a little bit. I don't want to have to be in the grocery store and not recognize you and have you to kick your head back. Let me see your upper plate so I can recognize you. Okay, you can sit down. You can tell people at work this way, yeah, the preacher gave us a break during the sermon. We needed a break. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I've loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love, I've drawn you. An unfailing love. His love never stops. Here's another concept some of you have, and it's because of the way people have treated you. The way parents have treated you, the way the people you've married, had relationships with, have treated you. You look back on this thing. Well, it's going good now. But one day, he's going to jerk the rug. One day, I'm going to wake up to a note. And it's sayonara, adios, goodbye. And he's not going to be there. Just waiting for the other shoe to fall. Right? Right? Because we tend to project on God the things we've experienced. We think of limits. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around the fact that His love is limitless. Think of it. Without limits. Unconditional love. You know, there are several words in Scripture used for love. Well, one that wasn't used is the one that was in the day in Greek eros, the physical, the kind of love. Then there was the phileo, the brotherly love kind of love. And then there's the agapao, agape kind of love, which is unconditional love. That's the word that's used here. That's the word used in John 3:16. God loving you unconditionally that never stops. And He is pursuing us with His love. How about that? How long would you have pursued you? Now think of all the garbage you've shaken in God's fist, in His face before. Think of it. And the thing is, He knows what you're thinking when you do that. At least when I'm going down Abercorn and I see people waving their hands, I can say, oh, they're saying one way Jesus, you know, something like that. I can reinterpret it. I'll catch up with some of you later on, but don't interpret it to your kids. But God knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows the arrogance. He knows that belligerence that comes to it. He knows the disobedience. He knows the spirit from which it comes. Yeah, he's still loving. How about that? And it's still pursuing us, chasing us down with his love. He's God. And he's doing that for you and me. Number three, God's love extends to every situation. Romans 8:39. Whether we are high above the sky or deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God as revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He can't name a place, a circumstance, an event to which the love of God does not extend. God's everywhere. Therefore, his love is everywhere. Have you ever played the game at work or maybe in your family? Somebody tells a story, and no one ever says the name of this game, but the name of it is Top Bill. Well, you think that's a story. Let me tell you this one. I always get tickled when I start stories like that because between my crazy daddy and my crazy brother and my crazy granddaddy, I probably got stories of topmost of what crazy people will do and still not be in jail. Which none of them spend any time in jail yet. But you play that game, Top Bill. One person tells about a bad situation. And next person's like, well, I can top that. I've got a worse one than that. And I've got a worse one than that. And before you know it, you're in a depression here. And you've heard one bad story after another. I want you to know. And in the midst of all those things, all those stories, God's still loving. He's still pursuing. He's still extending his love. Some of us think our sin is too great. We've sinned too great. But what does the scripture say? Also in Romans 3:23 it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who's that mean? Does that mean Jerry? How about Big Boy? How about Tommy Boy? How about Brother Dustin? You know what? We're standing on the same ground right here because every one of us has sinned and we've fallen short of God's glory. Goes on in Romans 6:23, later on, a few chapters later, Paul says there, and the wages of sin, what you ought to get paid for that sin, is death. That's what I deserve. Now think of this. What I deserve is death, is separation from God. But he says, but the free gift. Now he didn't have to say free in front of gift, but he did. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every situation. You've not sinned too great to move yourself away from the love of God. Because you see, God loves you. And he hates the sin. And the reason why he hates the sin in our life is because the sin separates us from him. So before a person gets to go to heaven, something's got to happen to that sin in their life. Enter Jesus, who died on the cross and rose on the third day for our sin. And when we receive him by faith and trust in our lives, he comes in and he makes us new people and he separates the sin from us and makes us fit for heaven, to spend forever with him. Isn't that good news? Isn't that? Yes, sir. Praise be to God. the United States Congress, couldn't we? How about the judicial system? Okay. You see, God's love extends to every situation. If you'll let it, He can turn a mess into a marvel. Come forth. God's love is our only hope. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercy from me. What does that word say? My only hope is in your unfailing love and faithfulness. Only? You know, there's not a plan B. There's not another way. There's not another hope. Correct. One way. Jesus said, I am the way, the hope, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God's love is our only hope. We keep thinking there are other ways. We can buy it. We can bargain for it. He's the only way. Now, how do we receive the love of God? Stop fighting God. It's interesting that we'll roll down the wall and let all kind of garbage come into our life. And here is God who is pursuing us with His everlasting love. And we fight Him. We try to keep Him out. When it comes to His love, we've got to stop fighting against God. Now, how do we do that? Well, one thing is, you can't work enough for the love of God. You think you're going to earn it? You're going to be working a long time. Because it's a gift. And you can't earn a gift, can you? And if you earned it, you know what? That means you could also lose it. Once a gift is given, it's a gift. Well, you don't deserve it, secondly. We've already talked about that. Number three, you can't get good enough. Number four, you can't buy it. Even the Godfather, Mr. Corleone, couldn't buy it, could he? Couldn't buy redemption. Couldn't buy the love of God. You can't do anything, finally, on your own. Secondly, big point, how to receive the love of God. Admit your own need. You see, I love this phrase. You have a love hole in your life. You need a love that'll fill that vacuum. Secondly, you've sinned against God. We already talked about those two verses, Romans 3:23 and 6:23. And people, things, and good ideas will never fill up that hole, will never fill up that empty space in your life. Only God can do that through His love, who comes to you unconditionally. Number three. Let Him show you His love. Try Him out. Lord knows you tried out everything else. I mean, I can speak for the people in my generation, the baby boomers. We tried out everything. Smoke it, shoot it, drop it, take it, experience it. Isn't it amazing? amazing that we'll try out all that garbage and not try out God? Try him out. Secondly, don't refuse what you haven't tried. Oh, I'm not going to receive anything from God. And very often, what we're thinking is, in the backs of our minds, because I don't want to have to become like one of those religious people that I despise. Well, put the religious people aside. They're not the ones that are inviting you to heaven. It's God. He's the one that's inviting you to his house, not them. I mean, religious people can screw up a one-car funeral. Ask God, thirdly, to show you his love. Ask him to prove it. Put him on the spot. But don't just ask him and not listen and not look. And as soon as you ask him, start looking around. I guarantee you, he will reveal his love to you. That's a guarantee. If you listen, he'll do that. Because he's pursuing you. Can you really believe that? He pursued you with his love. Finally, how to receive the love of God? Receive his love as a free gift. Love is a free gift. His love is unconditional, secondly. And don't try to understand it all at once. That's like trying to get a drink of water off of a fire hydrant out there. How many times as a kid you had the other kid in the house say, "Oh, I'm thirsty, I'm out there." And I know kids today probably don't drink out of the hose outside, but we did. Man, turn that thing on. You've got it right up there ready to get a drink. You're thirsty. He's turned it on, and what they didn't tell you was it was already somebody left it in the own position. Amen. All of a sudden, you got all the power of that. There's no way you could drink up all of that. There's no way you can begin to understand the love of God and all that he has for you in your life just like that. Make it a lifetime. Make it an eternity. You don't understand what things before. And when you receive him, you receive his love. Now some of you have got some things out of place in your life, and it's time to get rid of them so you can receive the love of Jesus. Let me give you an example of that. I've got one of those out-of-place things in my back pocket. You know what that is? It'd be a pair of angel wings. It'd be part of a sign. It'd be a shield. Shirt collar thing. I wasn't that dumb. Almost. Almost. You know, if you ever just felt like something was out of place, I got a brand new pair of shoes for Christmas. See that shoe right there? That's my left shoe. Now, the right shoe was comfortable. I loved it. Man, I was walking around the most comfortable shoe I've ever had. The only thing is, it's shoes, plural, not shoe. That's a comfortable shoe you got there, but how about the other one? Well, this morning, thank God it was just some kids out there that didn't know what I was doing. I'm walking in and I say, "You know, that left shoe doesn't feel right." And I look down there and there's that cardboard sticking out about like that. Talk about an idiot. You know what? It was as simple just like that. You know what? That thing feels good. I feel like I could walk with Jesus with this thing on. And you know what I'm going to do with this? I'm going to tear this up. Because this doesn't belong. It doesn't belong in that shoe. The garbage you've believed about God, the garbage you've believed about His love, all the lies, He's going to stop loving you, His love has a limit on it, you're not capable of being loved, that you're an exception, all that, that is garbage. You need to tear it up to start this new year and receive the love of Jesus. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. When you start walking in His love, it's going to ooze out of you all over everybody else around you. The way you do your job, the way you live at home, the way your family operates, they're going to see a change in you. What lie have you believed? Now I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And you know, we get to the end of this time. I know some of you are getting ready to go. Let's get ready to go with God. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. We ask our folks, our pastors, our life group leaders to kind of join and take your places. These people are here to pray with you. We'll pray with you. But I want to lead us in a prayer as a congregation. And first we're going to get rid of the lies, and then we're going to receive the love of Jesus to start this new year. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, right now I'm praying for us as a body, each of us as individuals, that You'll reveal to our hearts right now what lie about the love of God that we have believed. Well, we've come in agreement with the evil one, Satan himself, the deceiver of the brethren, and we've been robbed of receiving Your love and its completeness in our life. Lord, I'm praying You'll reveal that to us right now. Let's spend a moment, let God speak to you. What lie is it? Just so you know, I'm a participant in this. I'm going to speak the one out that the devil uses on me all the time. Lord, right now, I am coming in agreement with You that the times when I believe I've got to earn my way into Your love is a lie hot from hell. And right now, Jesus, I put that lie to death by the truth that God loved me. Now maybe you have one of the other lies. You pray right where you are that He'll put that lie to death. Now let's pray that we can receive the love of Jesus right now. Now I like to put, I'm demonstrative. I use my hand. So I'm putting my hands out. You want to put yours out? That's fine. Lord, right now, I pray as a body that we can receive the love of Jesus. Lord, come and love us right now. Unconditionally. Come and wash over us. Baptize us, Lord Jesus, in Your love. Spirit of God, make that love plain and demonstrable in our life. And I thank You for this gift. Now, if you want to pray with someone, this is your time. This is your time.